on the Newsline, though, with us now every Friday morning. Thanks to the Campus Theater in Lewisburg and their sponsorship. We have Movie Mike McGranahan on board. He is a professional movie critic, a women in cinema advocate, an author, and we're going to find out about four reviews today and some other entertainment news. But first, the blockbuster overnight in terms of news. Mike, first of all, welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I do appreciate that. And tell us about Warner Brothers. I'm going to speculate this is a blow to theaters, so you tell us about that.
This really is. Yesterday, Warner Brothers announced that all the movies on its 2021 release schedule will hit HBO Max, their streaming service, the same day that they hit theaters. They'll be available on the streaming service for no extra charge, but only for 31 days. And they have some major titles next year, including The Matrix 4, The Suicide Squad, the Space Jam sequel, the new Dune movie. So this is kind of a blow for theaters. You're going to be able to see all of these major A-list movies at home for free if you're an HBO Max subscriber.
Tell me about this 30-day window. Why that?
Well, they're trying to... It's kind of weird. They're trying to not kill theaters with this, even though they kind of maybe are helping to kill theaters. So that's just sort of a... They claim it's a one-year plan. And the 31 days after that, they will pull the movies from their service, and then that will hopefully encourage people to go to the theaters if they did not get to see them within that 31-day period. But I think we all know how that'll turn out.
Well, if you have HBO Max and you've already watched it safely, you know, on
right.
your 4-foot, 5-foot, 6-foot TV, here's an opportunity to see it on a bigger screen, unsafely, so I guess I could see how that... So that was big news overnight, and some industry reaction. What are folks saying about this?
Theater owners are very unhappy. The CEO of AMC, which has our local theaters, is very upset. He issued a rather blistering statement yesterday saying that they are going to continue to aggressively defend the theatrical model. So this could be a game changer if it takes off. I've heard various theories. Some people say it'll kill movie theaters. Other people say, no, it won't. It might actually help theatrical in the long run. Who knows at this point? We're all just speculating, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, and it's just 1 year, and by the time some of these films come out, the vaccine should have been widely available. So, and plus all the other, you know, movie makers are going to, you know, there's kind of some pent-up demand of films that will be released that may only be in theaters. You know, what about other movie makers? You know, there's 100 under others, those, probably 10 or so that really are the big players, but any reaction or any big changes coming for them?
I haven't heard of anybody speaking out yet, but it does create an interesting position because Warner Brothers has a great relationship with director Christopher Nolan, who did Inception and Tenet, and he is a very huge advocate of the theatrical experience. So I think, you know, there may be directors like him who don't like the idea of their movies going straight to HBO Max at the same time as theaters. Warner Brothers may get some blowback and harm their relationship with certain high-profile filmmakers as a result of this.
Well, and on the same time, investors like some certainty. And so that may be a factor, you know, in terms of the money aspect of this. At least folks will know, well, X film is coming out on X date. This is the platform, and we're going to go through with it.
It's kind of a hard situation because nobody really knows how to keep theaters sustainable during this coronavirus. On the one hand, you know, you can say nobody's going to go see this in theaters when they can see it on HBO Max. On the other hand, theaters need high-profile films to play in order to survive, and that's why they've been struggling these last few months. There's been a dearth of big titles. So this will put movies like Wonder Woman 84 and The Matrix 4 and Suicide Squad in theaters where the product is needed. So I don't know. I could see it going either way.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Thank you so much for that update. We appreciate that. Warner Brothers is going to release its films in 2021 on HBO Max and at theater simultaneously. 30 days of movie house run and then pulled from the movie houses and then available only on HBO. Oops, I got that backwards. Okay.
Got that backwards, right. Yeah. 31 days on HBO Max and then exclusively in theaters.
It is actually backwards from decades ago, so years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be films that could only go in the theater, and then maybe you'd see them on cable later. All right, let's get on to reviews. Half Brothers. Tell us about this particular film.
This opens in theaters today, and this is a comedy about a Mexican aviation executive whose father crossed the border from Mexico into the United States when he was a kid and never came back. And when his father's on his deathbed, this guy goes to visit him, and it turns out he has a half-brother he never knew about. His father had a whole other family in America. And right before the father dies, he sends them on this scavenger hunt together, these two half-brothers who never knew each other, to try to find clues that will explain his story to them and why he treated both of them the way that he did. This is a movie, I have to say, it's very funny in spots. It's completely absurd. The travels that these brothers go through and the situations they find themselves in, completely unrealistic. But there's a real sweetness underneath that I responded to. This is a really compassionate film about what happens to immigrants and about some of the tensions in people coming across the border and looking for a better life in America and what they go through. So this movie kind of won me over a little bit, despite a few reservations. So I would give 3 stars to Half Brothers.
Does the wedding happen at the end, or would that be a spoiler?
I don't think that would be a spoiler. This is one of those movies. The guy is trying to get back in time for his wedding from this road trip. It's a feel-good movie, so I think people could probably safely guess what happens there.
Okay.
You'll know within the first 10 minutes everything that's going to happen in this movie, more or less, but the way they get there is kind of fun, and it's really sweet, and like I said, it won me over.
Sort of good harmless funness, one of your phrases. Okay, Half Brothers, you're giving it, what, 2.5 or 3 stars, something like that?
Yep, 3 stars, and that's in theaters locally today.
Ammonite, I wonder what that's about.
Yeah, this one I really like. This is a movie that's been in limited theatrical release for the last couple weeks, and today is the day it makes its debut on demand, so you'll be able to rent this from home. And this brings together two of the best actresses of our era, Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan, and it's a love story that's set, I forget what the actual year it is, but it's right before the turn of the century. And Kate Winslet is this paleontologist who now just sells fossils at a little store, and she meets Saoirse Ronan's character, who is a very depressed woman, and her husband asks Kate Winslet to just kind of keep an eye on her while he goes on a 6-week trip, and the two women fall in love. And this is one of those movies that I know some people will call it slow because there's not a lot happening on the surface, but I love that this movie has the patience that you just watch these two actresses. You look at their faces, you study their body language, and they create this whole intense relationship that develops between these two women. That is just hypnotic. So this, to me, definitely one of the better films of the year, and I give it 3.5 stars. And the performances, as you would expect from those two, are outstanding.
All right, super. So when Oscar time rolls around in the decades ahead, we're going to listen for Ammonite?
I would think that both of these women are very well-deserving of Oscar nominations for this film. Like I said, it's a love story. It's got a little bit of a tragic element because you know Saoirse Ronan's husband is going to want to come back for her at some point, so you don't know what's going to happen there. Is she going to stay with Kate Winslet? Is she going to go back to her husband? There's a lot of drama, and the actresses handle that really nicely. So to me, definitely, they would be award-worthy.
All right. Well, thank you. Ammonite, 3.5 stars on demand. The Prom. Well, we all know about this particular story. What's happening with the movie version?
Yeah, The Prom, we're kind of jumping the gun on this a little bit. Netflix is releasing it in a few theaters today to give it a theatrical run, and then it'll be available on their streaming service next week. I wanted to talk about it because it's been a little controversial this week, which I'll get to in a second. But this movie stars Nicole Kidman, Meryl Streep, and James Corden as these kind of half-washed-up Broadway stars who are looking for a way to get good publicity for themselves. And so they travel to this little town where a high school girl has had her entire prom canceled because the PTA found out that she wanted to bring her girlfriend to the prom. And these stars come in and try to save the day. Now, I screened this movie last Sunday, and I have to tell you, it's based on a hit Broadway musical, which I have not seen. Maybe it plays better on the stage, but as a movie, it is just a bombastic bore. And it's been very controversial because James Corden, who is straight, plays the worst stereotype of a gay man in this movie, and it's being some controversy for that, and I think it's warranted. He is absolutely horrible in this movie, and he takes a movie that has problems to begin with and really just pulls it down. So The Prom will be available on Netflix next Friday, but I think it's pretty terrible. I skipped my own prom. I should have skipped this one too. 1.5 stars for that.
1.5. Okay. All right. Well, that's all. We'll talk about that. And Black Bear, of the 4 movies you sent me, this is the only one I had time to watch the trailer. I have no idea what this movie's about. Help me out here.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be much help on that. I like this movie, but it's one of those things that if you reveal too much, it kind of completely unwinds and gives it all away. But this stars Aubrey Plaza, who we all know from Parks and Recreation and so many comedic roles, and it's a dramatic role. And in the film, she plays a filmmaker who goes to this lake house that's owned by some friends of a friend to work on her next screenplay, and all kinds of tensions arise with the two hosts of the home. And then about 35 or 40 minutes in, something happens and the movie completely changes and you realize that everything you've been watching up to this point is not what is really going on. So I don't want to say anything more about that. That part was a little jarring for me when you spend that much time investing in characters and then the movie says, wait a minute, forget about that. It could throw you off a little bit. But I think this movie is definitely worth seeing for Aubrey Plaza, who shows incredible dramatic range in this movie and does things she's never seen on screen before. She's really amazing. So I give Black Bear 3 stars. Not a great film, but a good film and something that's provocative and will at least get you talking.
All right. And again, that's on demand or in theaters?
That is on demand today, yes.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Thank you. Some other headlines are briefly popping up in news around here. The person we know as the Juno star says he is transgender, so that made headlines this week.
Yeah, that's a big deal because this is the first time that an already established star has come out as transgender. We're talking about Elliot Page, who was formerly known as Ellen Page, the star of Juno, got an Oscar nomination for that, now on Netflix's The Umbrella Academy series. And Elliot came out this week and announced himself as transgender. So this is a major, major event for the LGBT community. We've had other celebrities who were transgender when they became famous, but this is a case of a very high-profile actor coming out as transgender. So a very watershed moment, probably not unlike when Ellen DeGeneres came out as gay in the 1990s. I think this is going to have a real big ripple effect for the positive.
All right, and one of the Darth Vader actors has died. Tell us about that.
Dave Prowse, who was the actor inside the costume, died this week. He had been battling prostate cancer. And, of course, everybody knows James Earl Jones did the voice, and that's what you think of. But Dave Prowse's physical performance really is what makes that movie. And for kids like me, I saw it in 1977 at 9 years old. When Darth Vader walks through that cloud of smoke at the beginning of the movie, I got chills. So Dave Prowse definitely going to be missed by Star Wars fans everywhere.
Movie Mike, thank you so much for all the reviews and the information, all the reviews at aisleseat.com. We invite folks to check them out. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, women in cinema advocate, and author. His appearance on WKOK, always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.